Here are the highlights from the latest episode of Beard Talk Live, the uncensored Free Talk Live after show. Learn more at beard.freetalklive.com. Shit, piss, fuck, cunt, cocksucker, motherfucker, and tits.
All right, it is Beard Talk Live, and it is episode 30, as in 30.
Wow.
Of these things, and yeah, it's very interesting. I just want to get a mic check on the Peakless Mountaineer. Can you hear
Well, so first I'd have to say that if you're counting last episode, that's like grading your own homework, man.
Well, that's what we're doing. It exists, and it needs a number, so it already has one. So this one is 30.
Does it really exist?
All things must have numbers.
I do want to also say that we have a guest beard joining us today. His name is Greg.
I have beard envy of you guys. Wow.
You are a bearded fellow. You do have the facial hair, so you know that's really the only requirement that we have here on Beard Talk Live, and sometimes we don't even have that.
Yeah.
So, you know,
we've cool. got the loner.
I think my beard is trimmed, you know, but I didn't go all out like you guys, so I just, you know, sometimes when I feel like I can't be Santa Claus.
Yeah, the rest of us I think could be if we wanted to.
Yeah.
Certainly if we wanted to do a little moonlighting in the season. Yeah, get a little
extra
coin.
You can always
coin.
Be Santa Claus on the inside.
I feel like by the time I'm 75 or 80, there's going to be hovercrafts that are like pretty good. And so I'm actually going, like literally going to be that guy with a white beard and a hovercraft. And,
I want my hovercraft. I don't know how old you are, but growing up, you know, they talked about all the things we'd have by the year 2000. And of course, it's 2023. We got none of that shit.
No.
I don't know if I told you,
Beard Talk Live. A bunch of kids who can't read though.
Beard Talk Live is uncensored.
Uncensored.
So we can say the seven words, Peakless. Nobody, you ready?
I am.
Shit.
Yeah.
Piss.
Fuck.
Cunt.
Cocksucker, motherfucker, and tits.
George Carlin fan?
I know. All That's right. how I knew it.
Yeah. All right, good. We like to get that in sometime during the
I
show.
I feel like George Carlin was the only famous left libertarian that I know of. Most of them are ANCAPs.
And like, having been a fan of his for so long, like, I could see the progression, right? Like, he wasn't always, I'm going to call him an anarchist, or at least anti-statist. Abolitionist,
yeah.
perhaps.
Lenny
might be
Bruce,
a better
I
word.
Think he got it from Lenny Bruce.
That's exactly where he got it from. And so, like, you could see the progression through his comedy. Like, originally, when he was young and he was doing, like, the Johnny Carson show, he was trying to be something different. He wasn't trying to be the rebellious, black shirt wearing ponytail guy who pissed off a bunch of people with his free speech. You know, he was trying to be like the straight-laced suit and tie comedy guy who gets featured on like late night television. And then as he got older, he decided to like reform himself. And the big linchpin, of course, was Milwaukee, Wisconsin, when he gets arrested for doing the bit about the seven words that you can't say on television. Mm. And that launched the rest of his career for the rest of his life.
Sweet. What happened with that arrest?
He got arrested and eventually the courts, you know, were like, no, it's fine. You know, it's free speech. You know, if you don't want to hear it, don't go, kind of a thing, you know. But it was still...
Of course, they didn't pay him.
Well, but it was still a huge publicity moment for him as a stand-up comedian, right? Mm-hmm. He's getting arrested and then, you know, people talking to him about what happened after the, you know, all that kind of stuff. Pre-internet, of course. So, like, there was no... Like, it was the closest thing a person could have gotten to, like, a viral video.
It was so funny. It was criminal. Mm-hmm.
Very bad.
Trying to kill people with laughter.
Like, I mean, it was all right. And what surprised me was that, like, the cussing didn't even play a major role in his comedy. Like, I barely noticed it because of today's standards.
Yeah. So,
I really like his routine on word fuck.
Yeah.
Usefulness.
Yeah. We played that on Beard Talk Live, I think, 5 or 8 episodes ago. In the last 6 months, the Boogaloo Boys have returned to Facebook and are using the platform to funnel new recruits and OG boys into smaller subgroups, with the goal of coordinating offline meetups and training, according to data obtained by the Tech Transparency Project. Don't know what that is. Shared exclusively with Vice News. They're posting propaganda videos, guides.
That's not very transparent if they're only sharing it with one group of people.
Yeah. They're posting propaganda videos, guides to sniper training and guerrilla warfare, and how-tos for assembling untraceable ghost guns. And so Dunn, now 22, recently returned from fighting Russia as a volunteer soldier for Ukraine. Once again, calling himself a boogaloo boy and is consumed by fantasies of becoming a martyr on the streets at the hands of the U.S. government by refusing to comply with police orders and fighting back. He says he's 100% in support of an armed revolt.
They found some guys.
I mean, I certainly couldn't hold it against somebody if they wanted to, you know, give the government back a little bit of what they've been giving us for 200 years.
By the way, can I just point out that this guy went to fight into a war started by governments? And he was happy to go. There are people like that, like the Afghan Arabs who went into the Afghanistan war.
Sure.
And so governments later reveal that they instigated the war. Right. And of course, the governments could also prevent the wars in the first place by listening to each other. But they don't do that.
Right.
So, yeah, there's going to be people who are going into wars. And look at all the Vietnam veterans who are scarred by war. They didn't even want to go.
Yeah.
So the governments, if you don't want to go, they can conscript you.
Yep.
And so all these people come back. And then they say, well, these people could be a danger to society.
Yeah, see, that's something I decided a long time ago. If they ever conscripted me, I mean, we're going to enslave you to kill people. And here's a rifle. Great. You're not going to be happy with my target selection because I'm going to start shooting draft board members.
You're not getting.
And my superior.
You wouldn't pass war deer, let alone this.
No,
but I mean, it's the government that armed the people that created the escalation to the war.
Yep.
And the media works together with them. Now this same media goes and says, well, these people are dangerous. Yeah, no shit, Sherlock. I'm using my right to say shit. Yeah, no shit,
fucking
Sherlock.
No.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Why don't you try not having wars, assholes?
Yeah. Well, as Martin Luther King said, riot is the language of the unheard. And the American people have not been heard in a long ass time by any of the scumbag criminals in Washington. So, you know, if some of those scumbag criminals get shot, I don't know that I'll have a party, but I sure won't cry.
I will overhear people on occasion, you know, walking around in my normal life, doing my normal life things, where you'll hear some discussion and some people will say something about like, oh, I support the war in Ukraine or the people, you know, and I'm like, well, why aren't you there?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want anyone to get shot, but then those other people, millions of other people, you know, live under bombs and cluster bombs. Mm-hmm. Oh, well, but we are achieving our geopolitical objectives.
Right.
And I would say the same to Russians.
The Madeleine Albrights.
Everyone on every side, politicians are sending people to war. They don't go to war. Their children don't go to war.
Mm-hmm.
No one's drafted. None of the media personalities are like, oh, I got a little draft in my mail. Bye, guys. I'm getting shipped off tomorrow. None of those guys are going to, but they always say we.
Beard Talk Live, who the fuck is this?
Oh, my goodness. Is this Buckshot Esquire?
If you will.
Powder dry boy.
It sounds like major pain. Major, what's on your mind?
Well, it could be a minor ache. Or
aren't you supposed to call him sir? You're only a captain.
What?
Aren't you supposed to call him sir? You're only a captain.
Well, I'm also an anarchist, so.
Yeah, we don't pull rank in these libertarian circles.
I'm only captain of myself, right? And I inspire, hopefully, other people to also be the captain of themselves.
Aren't
no matter how great the gate, how charged with punishment the scroll, I am the master of my fate and I am the captain of my soul.
Hey guys, aren't anarchists against hierarchy?
No, I don't have a problem. I don't have a problem.
Anarchy.
I don't have, that's no rulers. That's not no structure. That's not no rules. It's no rulers.
All right.
So no kings, no masters, right?
I mean, if you want to hire Mr. Spanx-a-Lot to spank your ass and tell you you're bad,
right.
I don't have a problem with that so long as you're consenting.
Role play, baby.
Let's give the caller a chance to say something. Major, go ahead.
Oh my goodness, are you really going to punch me in or punch me out, as the case may be?
No.
Well, my arm's not long. You guys were dealing on the previous show with all this banking whatnot.
Yep.
And it reminded me a lot of the 29 crash.
You mean 2008, 2009?
Thing went wrong and everybody went crazy and then the whole thing went to hell in a handbag.
Mm.
And if you think about it, this shit is cyclical.
Oh, yeah.
Every 100 years.
Well, it's been a little less than 100 years since the last one.
100 years, it was 100 years between the revolution, and now we got the EMP that happened in about 1898. We're about ready to have one of them, too.
An electromagnetic pulse?
Put all your inner tube and Facebook and your monetary coins.
I mean, with regards to, like, a bank failing, didn't something like that happen in the 1920s, now that it's the 2020s?
It happened in 2008.
The market crashed.
A lot of banks failed and failed. There was a 1929 market crash. Then there was a run on a whole number of banks. A lot of it was happening because the federal government was trying to prop up the value of the British pound after World War One.
Well, and wasn't 1913 key in, you know, some of that destruction?
Yeah, Woodrow Wilson signed the, it's not just Woodrow Wilson,
the creation
by
of the Federal Reserve.
It was the entire Congress, yeah.
Yeah.
If the banks were honest, right, and there
then
was
they
no
wouldn't
federal,
be in business.
Right, if the federal government wasn't propping them up, and they were honest, the reality would happen just like with the free banking era, mm-hmm. which what happened was, the further away geographically you got from the bank, the less its banknotes were worth, and maybe 90 cents on the dollar, right? Mm-hmm. And so, like, a bank that's honest would tell you, these are our reserves, and now our banknotes are worth 90 cents on the dollar. And if you keep taking it out, it'll be 80 cents and 70 cents. At some point, people will stop the withdrawing. They'll mm-hmm. wait until the price goes up again, just with crypto, right? But the banks tell you it's a dollar, it's a dollar, it's a dollar, and then bank holiday.
Yeah.
Right? When they're out of reserves. So it's not a gradual drop to zero. If it was continuous, like the markets, wouldn't be a problem.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, the whole thing is pretty much a scam because, you know, I mean, if you give somebody your furniture for storage and you come back and they've sold it, you're going to call the police. But banks just take shit stored with them and lend it to other people.
Well, to be fair, the banks don't lend out your money. They're empowered by the government to issue money, okay, that the government essentially backs with the full faith and credit of the U.S. government. So,
but backs in what? What are they going to do
gonna
if it
more
goes
money.
Down?
They're
absolutely
more money.
Nothing.
Now they won't after the bill they've passed after 2012. I think it was Dodd-Frank.
Well, no, even after, I mean.
They did it. They printed
trillions.
What
could they do? What can they do?
They can do a lot. They got off the gold standard. So they effectively control the money supply. So they, you know, that's not necessarily in and of itself a bad thing. But
I got to disagree with.
But look at what happened just now. They printed trillions of dollars.
Mm-hmm.
Then they raised interest rates. And the interest rates are having unintended consequences of making these banks go bankrupt.
Let's give our caller a chance to respond. Major, what do you have to say?
I do believe that this thing is a mirror image of the 29 crash. People are getting spooked.
Wait, 1929 or 2009?
1929.
Okay, go ahead.
1929 crash, yeah. The stock market.
Okay.
Just after the Dust Bowl, I mean, we were going through hell then just as we were going through hell now. But now we're going through cyber hell, not dust hell.
In our lifetime, we'll see a lot of jobs simply being automated.
Yep.
It's not that computers will replace people. It's that one person will be able to do the job of 100 people.
Sure.
All right. Mm-hmm. Facebook already has one engineer to serve like a million people. So my point is, in this kind of economy, we can either say tax the robots because they're not self-interested, right? And through the corporations, which have the robots, right? Tax the corporations and give people the money so that people can live their lives and enjoy freedom, decide what to do. Or you could say the only way to live is to earn a living wage from your corporation. And the only way to have health insurance is to work for a corporation.
Well,
and
we're gonna be slaves.
Nobody ever said you have to work for a corporation.
No, but they're gonna have all the money because they have all the
the plan is not to.
Yeah, but
the reason people become dependent on one corporation is because they're the last ones to get the money. Like nobody was saying they keep the same wage forever because that's the way that this form of money goes. Now, if you have a good money, especially a depreciating money, then the laborers get the money first instead of having the Cantillon effect on the opposite direction.
Huh. What is a Cantillon effect, by the way, for people?
Okay. Cantillon effect basically means you're closer to the money spigot. So they print a bunch of money, they give it into these programs. Now the closer you are to that spigot, the sooner you get to spend the money. Now once you spend the money, people go, oh, there's a bunch of money around, I can jack my prices up. And then the money gets to other people who now have to deal with the jacked up prices.
Yeah, that's why I'm in favor of UBI again, because everyone gets the money first.
Equally. Well, and that's why I'm in favor of BTC, because the value is distributed.
Mm-hmm. Decentralized.
And so that's the thing, like a UBI will never be implemented in a good way by these fucking monsters.
Mm.
Remember what they do. They export fear. That is their business. Like Captain and said, they don't have a business good. Bullshit. Cruelty. That is their export.
Let's give Major Payne a chance. Major.
Well, dudes, you've gone rolled my marble around so many times, I reckon I might have a flat spot or two.
Major, you're a colorful character.
God almighty. All right. So, everybody, you got to keep your powder dry. You can't have no faith in these bastards.
Okay.
Right.
Either we stand or die together. I can't believe America is so fucking stupid as to not
believe
be
it.
Able to be between the lines.
And it's going to get worse.
They've been educated by the government because you can't expect much from them.
As George Carlin said, garbage in, garbage out, folks. Where do you think we get these politicians from? They're you and
these
me.
These are the things they have to claim. They have to claim our propaganda, which is schooling and press. They have to claim our court system, and they have to claim our money system.
So I think this is actually a very good time to bring up what I do, just because.
You do something?
It's crazy.
Wow.
I just go around eating muffins.
You mean you're not just like a random guy?
You actually produce?
It's crazy.
God almighty. We have to eliminate you.
No, I don't think so. Despite...
I one time had a boss hole.
An asshole and a boss at the same time?
I did a bar interview.
Maybe his boss gave him...
I'm a carpenter. I've been building shit all my life.
Okay.
I could square a fucking house with an axe handle.
All right.
I swear to God, 3 and 4 and 5 is square. Right?
Okay. Right.
You can understand that. You love fucking mathematical scenario. You can squirt anything.
I agree. You can squirt anything. That makes me think of a few things I'd like to squirt.
Equals 3 squared plus 4 squared is 5 squared.
Okay. I still don't know how to square a house with an axe handle.
All right. Let's let Greg finish his thoughts.
I agree that you cannot let the federal government in charge of the UBI. Because they're just going to mess it up. Although I will say...
Well, any government.
Well, yes, any government. But they have implemented it in Alaska. They give it... It's called the Permanent Fund. And,
oh, it's where if you're a native, you're born in Alaska, you just get some money every year?
No, every citizen gets equal amounts.
Oh, I only say that because I know a guy who, you know, grew up in Alaska and like, I don't know, it was, you know, I needed some money and he's like, oh, I just got my Alaska check here. I'll loan you the money. I'm like, what's an Alaska check? And he explained it to me.
One of the 50 states has finally saw the light. This was decades ago.
Well, they actually had the opportunity to do it without stealing from anybody. So that's, yeah, and that's a lot better.
Exactly. It's the reverse of stealing.
Beard Talk Live. Who the fuck is this?
Does the fucking noise in my head bother you?
Does the fucking noise in your head bother me? Hang on just a minute. Peakless, whatever you're doing to your computer makes a bunch of noise, so try to not move your computer. otherwise, I'm going to have to mute you. Rob, go ahead.
Hey, how you guys doing tonight? Good, good,
life
good.
Is good.
What's on your mind?
So, I've been listening to, you know, Greg and Ian and stuff like that, you know, talk about, you know, the Greg's ideas and stuff like that. And it sort of makes a lot of sense. But then I listened to Ian's side and then Jay Newman.
You mean nobody?
Ian's not here.
Ian's not here tonight.
Nobody's here.
Right. But I mean, what I'm saying is I understand sort of what they're talking about in terms of.
Okay.
Because it sounds like what Greg wants is trying to do is sort of keep the structure of how things are going in this country and then sort of put new people into it. That's what it sounds like. Is that what you're saying, Greg?
Yeah, I'm basically saying that we don't have to have a revolution in this country. Nothing has to go violently. It's
no,
very simple.
We need an evolution.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm saying we
I don't think we need a revolution. I think we need a national divorce.
How are we doing, like, this show, for example? We're using personal computers. Mm-hmm. We're using the permissionless internet mm-hmm. and the web, and we're using our own personal websites and everything. The idea is that we have already very, very good personal printers and computers and blogs and everything. Technology empowers individuals, and we don't need to bitch and moan. We need to build, right?
Yes.
Who said mm-hmm. it? Stop arguing yeah. and build,
right.
right? I visited some of these startup cities, and let me tell you, I like people who put their money where their mouth is and build. So for the last 10 years, I've been building, and not to toot my own horn, but I think without tools, people can't self-organize. Without tools to communicate, they're going mm-hmm. to use Twitter. They're going to use Facebook. And then they're going to complain, Twitter doesn't have an edit button. Can I please have an edit button? It's like, bitch, you know, thanks for this show. I can save it. Hey, bitch, get an open source Twitter, Mastodon. You could put whatever button you want on it. You mm-hmm. know, it's yours.
Okay, so I would like to add to that, Greg, if I can.
Sure.
And that is just that you're right about, you know, the computer and technology and stuff, but I mean, and that's, you know, still just over 40 years old, really. I mean, I remember the first computer yeah. that I saw came out. I mean, there was no internet. You loaded the computer with a tape.
I remember, Rob, yeah. you and I are about the same age. I remember the first thing that I remember being referred to as a computer was the very old Wonder Woman television series in 1970, whatever year that was. And it took up an entire
That's
room.
I have an old big beard. Okay, go
yeah,
on.
It took up an entire room, and that was, we have to consult the computer. And they would take a little card and insert, and they'd wait for a while. And then eventually the computer would spit up some results.
Chat GPT.
That, yeah. So, like, yeah, computers have come a long way in a short period of time.
Exactly. I mean, I remember the first thing I played was Pong on it was very popular, yeah. but I mean, it has long since, you know, gotten 100% better. But with, I mean, even in this day and age, it's so difficult to keep up with technology. Now, with that being said, okay, even today, why does it seem that people are kind of stupid or I mean, even with technology.
Because they get educated by the government who doesn't care.
No, it cares. It wants them stupid. It needs them a certain amount of stupid.
Yeah,
they want them smart enough to do their jobs, but not smart enough to fight back.
Right.
That's right.
I want to come back to something that Greg was mentioning. My favorite quote about building is from Buckminster Fuller. And the quote is, "You never change things by fighting the existing reality. To change something, build a new model that makes the existing model obsolete."
Nobody, to your point, if you released the utility token for your open source software and your open source software was running on 10,000 computers because it became popular, then in order for those 10,000 computers to do something, let's say secure the network or to do something, store files like with Filecoin, you could sell that utility token. But that system that we have now is more moral than the previous system of selling shares. You see, when Facebook sold shares, right, the shareholders demanded that Facebook extract rents forever. So they have to run advertisements. They have to make sure you're glued to your screen. They call it engagement and eyeballs, right? Forever. Well,
There's a reason for that, though. I mean, the thing that I realized, I actually read The Wealth of Nations because I'd been arguing with a lot of libertarians, and I wasn't one yet. And they kept quoting The Wealth of Nations at me. So I said, okay, I'm going to read this motherfucker and debunk it. What I realized is what a free market does is it turns the entire world into a giant neural net. So each node is putting out these numbers, okay? They're making decisions. And based on whether those decisions are good or bad, based on not what their neighbors think they should want, but what they really want, what they're willing to pay then if you make good decisions, you have money come in and your weight increases. Whereas if you make bad decisions, you don't have money, and your weight decreases. So that's exactly how a neural net works.
All right, hold that, Rob. I'm sure you have some thoughts. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm not against cryptocurrency or anything, but I prefer for myself goldbacks and silverbacks and stuff like that. And then the barter system works pretty well, and you know,
The thing is, eventually those two, I believe, are going to merge. Because there's a thing in currency called seniorage. And seniorage is the difference between the cost of making your currency and the value of that currency. Now, Bitcoin is almost 100% seniorage because there is no underlying material to it. But they had something unique when they first came around.
You need energy to mine it.
Hang on, guys.
You do need energy.
Nobody. Hang on. Peakless.
Yeah, that's bullshit. What, as he was pointing out, you need energy to mine it. That is the actual resource that it consumes in order to create it. Unlike a proof of stake coin like Ethereum, which you only need energy for if you're stealing.
But the energy is consumed in the process of making it. So it's not like if you need some energy, you can just put some Bitcoin in your computer.
Right, doesn't go the other way, which is an important point. When money is backed by something,
as
you can't redeem Bitcoin back for the energy, right?
But the thing is, when cryptocurrency was brand new, okay, it made sense to have one that was more or less pure seniorage. But as time goes on and people and cryptocurrencies compete, I think what we're going to see is a lot of cryptocurrencies that do have some kind of decentralized backing to them.
I've been figuring out how that can be done. If you're competing for a monetary premium and you have something that can be used in another product, then sooner or later, your use in other products is going to interfere with your job as money. Like, if hologram projectors take a bunch of gold, then that's going to fuck with how much gold is worth. At the beginning of last segment, you were talking about the paucity of left libertarian comedians and Bill Hicks, man. Bill Hicks was definitely libertarian and definitely left.
I was going to say not just comedians, representation in general. Like, we've got Milton Friedman. We've got his son, David Friedman. We've got Mises and Say and Hayek and everybody. But
how
when it
are,
comes to...
I need a definition of left libertarian. Like, I think I have an idea in my mind of libertarian. I I think I have an idea of anarchism, what that means.
Yeah.
I don't, like, maybe if you could give me a definition of left libertarianism versus a definition of right libertarianism, I might have a better idea of what you mean.
Sure, I'd love to. Before I do, can I illustrate with a specific issue? And then I'll give you the definition.
I don't know, can you? Sure.
The issue is what nobody said, and what Pikulas, I think you were saying before too, which is that a person should not be allowed to simply own unlimited amounts of things. And I don't mean allowed as in like someone is forcing them to not own it.
Mm.
I mean the other way. I would like the courts to decline to use violence to enforce unlimited amounts. So
yes, ownership must be limited, especially by your labor.
Exactly. So like, let's say that John Locke, the proviso, said, right, that you can only own as much. How did you say it? As much.
That homesteading was fine so long as there was as much and as good available for others to homestead. So what became a problem is the government came in, claimed all of the unowned land for itself so they could make the property owner owning friends rich.
So John Locke, he was talking about how some farmers would let the crops rot in the field. And he said they were abusing, like, basically, he felt like God was giving them a right to own something. In his view, God was the authority on who owned what. And he said, well, if that's too much, if you can't even like make the field grow crops and you're just letting them rot in the field, let someone else have that plot and do something. So I would say,
which if they can say, hey, I can use that field way better than you are. I will give you this much money to let me use that. It's way more than your value for that land. Let me use it. And that's the thing. So like God or nature or nature's God is, I think, a really useful phrase when talking about ownership. Like, you can come at it from either direction, and either way, when you mix your labor with nature, you create the first property. And from there, you trade honestly, and then you have a right to things. And when you don't do that, you have no right to them.
So to me, before I give a definition of left libertarians versus right, I would like to say that many people, including myself, believe that laws are man-made. Okay, so like in the jungle, there are no laws. Lion will not care.
That's not true, though.
If you
drink,
laws.
You get drunk. That's a law.
There are laws in the nature.
Natural laws.
Right.
But I'm saying like a law like, for example, you know, take property law.
Yeah.
Right? It's complex. You've got easements. You've got air rights. You've got adverse possession. You've got all these things.
Mineral rights, all that stuff.
Right? Humans come up with ways to self-organize society, and then they publish these ways, and we call that, you know, promulgating the laws. And then we have these like groups like Congress or lawmakers, right?
Mm.
To me, that's a human activity. Now, the Bible notwithstanding, okay, people may say, I got this law divinely, okay, inspired. But what I'm simply saying is, if laws are a human construct, let's say, therefore, who enforces them? Human organizations do.
Right.
And so to me, what we have is humans.
When you started this, you said that nature has no law. And I think the important detail there is that there is a huge difference between when you're in civilization and you're out of civilization.
Okay.
So if we're in civilization, I don't get to just take your kidney.
Okay.
We're out of civilization, then watch your kidneys, bro.
Let's let Greg finish.
Yeah, so that's the point. Civilization, right, is about getting everyone a minimum degree of everything. Minimum degree of safety. So we have, like, law enforcement. And then we say, well, you can't just take people's kidneys. There's going to be consequences.
I don't know.
We're going to hunt you down.
So I disagree with the phrasing giving, making it available. Yes, giving.
Guarantee. So people get together, and typically the thing that they come up with is, like, let's guarantee minimum XYZ for ourselves. Everyone gets a minimum access to water. Everyone gets a minimum access to safety, fire insurance, or whatever. Okay? We tried guaranteeing that with a free market, and now I'll get to
we did.
Okay, so if you look at the movie Gangs of New York, in my city, New York City, there was a free market of firefighters. Literally, there were fire brigades, like the Bowery Boys, okay? And they would actually, there was a market failure in that they would sabotage each other. A left libertarian criticizes governments, but also criticizes all concentrations of power, including corporations.
Okay.
And is not necessarily married to the idea that capitalism and privately owning unlimited things is the only way to organize society.
Yeah.
If they find that a gift economy like open source is better, then I'll go in and say it. And I found
Well, if you're free though, that's still capitalism because you're making the choice.
Well, you can call it capitalism, but there's no capital that you accumulate. So you could call it capitalism. But
there absolutely is. Capital means that you're making the ability to do things. And if you set up a nice system where people are getting fed, then you have more ability to do things. And here's the thing, like, okay, so you're charging 3% to be a member of your system. That's cool. Now I'm going to look at what you do, and if that's worth 3%, then I'll keep hanging out with you and using your stuff. Now, if someone over here says, you know what, I can do 2.5%, get more done than he is, I can look at him and go, you know what, he's getting more done than you.
That's fine.
That's literally a charity.
You're describing liberty, and I am for liberty. As a left libertarian, I'm for liberty. But the liberty that I'm for may not involve accumulation of capital at all. So that person donating their time to edit a Wikipedia article literally gets nothing for it. Not even their name is promoted. Similarly, a person who fixes a bug in Linux, and guess what? They're actually trying to, they're fighting to get their thing published. They're doing what's called peer review. So it's entirely the opposite. When someone on Twitter, like Elon Musk, tweets, like even before he owns the entire platform, he owned a lot of followers, okay? That's a form of social capital.
Yes.
And Twitter is the means of distribution, okay? So it's almost like it's become like, they talk about deplatforming people, like we feel bad for that. How did they get the platform in the first place? We don't talk about platforming them, right?
Right, yeah.
How did Kanye West get his platform? How did, you know, and I follow this, and I can tell you, the first person to get a million followers on Twitter was Ashton Kutcher. I remember this. He was asking people to follow him.
Yeah.
He was the first to a million. But Ashton Kutcher's not a random guy. Ashton Kutcher was given a lot of social clout by the movie industry and before that the TV industry, that 70s show.
Right.
He was picked, he was groomed, he was cast, and ultimately he got capital from previous capital.
Right.
And the people that built Hollywood, okay, they built it from scratch, let's say. But the next generations of people
Let's not, because he was closer to the money spigots.
He was.
I mean, there's no one closer to, I mean, just about no one closer to the money spigots than Hollywood. Come on.
That's my
point. They made their propaganda.
No, wait. That's my point. I gave a small exception to the people that built Hollywood in the early 20th century. But what I'm saying is, probably those guys had a lot of investors too. My point is, the investors with capital select the people who will get the next thing, and then they inherit the capital. So Ashton Kutcher inherited capital, money, and clout. Now those are convertible. When you have a lot of followers, you could do what's called endorsements, and you can make money. If you have a lot of money, you could just buy a lot of followers.
Did he inherit it though, or did he earn it?
He didn't, well, earn it. He was simply picked by the movie industry and the whoever was the That 70s Show casting.
Well, there have been a lot of actors in history. Very few of them have been as popular as he is.
There
are reasons for that.
But he didn't come from nothing without any help, is my point.
Right.
Obviously, he was given.
Well, no one does anything without any help.
Right. Exactly.
Like a lot of leftists, you don't know what capital is. So technology is capital. So when you make Wikipedia, that you're accumulating capital. You're just not accumulating it to yourself, you're accumulating it to posterity, which includes you. Now, the Twitter followers, yeah, that's a kind of capital. So's the clout, so's the money. These are all ways of getting things
done. Well, we're saying the same thing. I agree with all that, and I'm saying that if you accumulate it to yourself, then that is private ownership of a lot of capital. And what I'm trying to say is a couple things. One, I can criticize private, large pools of private capital. I can criticize Elon Musk for having this outsized influence. I would replace Elon Musk with a Wikipedia-like peer review group that would fact check his tweets before they go out. Right? And it would include people who disagree with Elon Musk in there.
I
don't want people voting on whether I can speak or not.
I've said all along that corporations are an invention of government. Sure. And so, like, it used to be a long time ago, you would have, you know, such and such and sons.
Sure.
Right. You'd have a family business. There was no corporation, right? It was a guy and his sons doing a thing. Whatever that thing is.
The eviction guys and his sons with guns. We're going to evict you. Are you saying you own these houses? No worries. We just take your side and we will shoot the other guys. Just pay us.
But what I'm saying is that there has to be another word for organizations performing services than corporation.
There company. Has to be sure, a, we could,
and
we
so I like, it. I like that word company because it's the first time I've heard an alternative to, I've heard the word before, don't get me wrong, I've heard the word company, but I like using it to differentiate between a government legal fiction and a group of people working together to provide a service.
But those,
even Ayn Rand's, Atlas Shrugged, if you look at it, there was one corporation in that, that one of the heroes was involved with, which was Taggart Transcontinental.
Yeah.
Well, Taggart Transcontinental was a clusterfuck. Everything else was a sole proprietorship. Reardon was a sole proprietorship. Most of the people in it were sole proprietorships. They didn't want to have their decisions made for them by a board.
Right.
You know?
I'm okay.
And a lot
of
times they did things that were not, that cost them a lot of money because they wanted it that way.
As long as you can, like, I can own my company, right?
Yeah.
It's a small company, but at some point it will become, let's say, a very big company. Let's say it becomes Twitter or Facebook. At that point, should I still be the one to decide whether to take down a post or not take down a post? Or should I appoint a board to decide that? In my opinion, neither of those is the optimal answer. The optimal answer is I should be not like Mark Zuckerberg, Elon Musk, and Jeff Bezos. I should be like Tim Berners-Lee, who invented the web, Linus Torvalds, who invented Linux, and, let's say, Vitalik Buterin, who invented Ethereum. If anything happens to those guys or they go on vacation, guess what? Their platform doesn't miss a beat because their platform is downloaded independently by a lot of people and has been improved by many people since then. These guys just simply gave it a go, gave it away, and made a lot of money. Vitalik made a lot of money because Vitalik came at a time when people figured out how to create utility tokens. Tim Berners-Lee didn't make much money from the web, and no one really made money. Like Jonas Salk didn't make money from giving away the vaccine, okay? But starting in like 2014, we can now, and nobody will tell you how to do this, make money from open source software, giving it away, and then making the sale of that utility token. But the difference with between that and what Mark Zuckerberg did is Mark Zuckerberg sold shares. And he sold shares to guys like Peter Thiel. I'll go on a rant for 60 seconds. I'd love to hear what you have to say about this.
Okay. You know what's coming.
This is the thing. Look at Mark Zuckerberg. He used to be an open source bro. He used to be a guy that Microsoft, and when he was in high school, he made a Winamp, you know, player or something.
Yep.
Microsoft offered him $1 million and he turned it down and gave it away. What? Open source on the internet. Then he went to college, made Face
Zuckerberg
Mash.
Wrote Winamp?
No. He didn't make Winamp. He made a plugin for Winamp.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So anyways, so I'm saying he used to value just giving stuff away, and you could see this even afterwards. So what people don't know, and I was there in TechCrunch, okay, when Sean Parker, one of the first, you know, who connected him to Valley Capital, all these venture capitals in the Silicon Valley, because this guy was on the East Coast. Mark Zuckerberg, you know, so Sean Parker says Mark Zuckerberg wanted to build, wait for it, a decentralized file sharing system called WireHog. You can look it up. WireHog, which he would not make money from because it was decentralized, okay, like BitTorrent.
Yeah.
So guess what Sean Parker said? We put a bullet in that thing, he said, very proudly. We made sure that Mark Zuckerberg went from being an open source bro to a corporate golden boy who buys up Instagram, who buys up WhatsApp. And then those teams, when their golden handcuffs are off, they bounce because they can't stand to be in that corporate, you know, rent extracting thing machine.
Okay.
No, hold up. Last thing I want to say about this. Who turned him into something like that?
Yes.
It was the venture cap. What? Just 30 seconds.
No, not the venture capitalist.
Can I just say that? 30 seconds. Peter Thiel. His first investor put in $500,000, okay, turned it into $5 billion. Very good return. Peter Thiel openly, he's one of the most outspoken venture capitalists, says, competition is for losers. Build a monopoly, okay? It's much more nuanced than that. He actually has a pretty good talk about it. Yeah. Google Talk.
Yeah. He wanted to build
a monopoly.
That's bullshit.
They turned Mark Zuckerberg from a guy that gave stuff away to a guy who built a monopoly and defends that monopoly by buying up all his competition. Let's say a corporation or a person creates a very bad environmental disaster, ecological disaster that far exceeds their ability to pay. And even further, let's assume they went bankrupt or the person died. Then society has no way to rectify that anymore. If your expectation is if no one finds out and I get away with it, I make a profit. But if people find
if
out, the worst thing happens,
out,
I go bankrupt, and that's it.
How can you prove that they were? Look, if nobody finds out, how can you prove they were harmed?
Here's my question. Right, I know it's a 3-part question. Let's do one part at a time. First part.
Okay.
If the company harms the environment, like right now we have in Palestine, Ohio, right, or East Palestine.
Yeah.
Okay.
They would be so fucked if we had a market for quartz.
So let's say that this company fucks up a lot of people. They have a limited amount of money. The harm is far exceeding what they have. And now what's going to happen? The company goes bankrupt. And then what? What happens to the rest of the people that were harmed? There's not enough money to make them whole.
Bankruptcy protection is a government concept.
Yeah, I agree. But what happens when people die and they have no more property?
Let's let Pequless answer. Pequless?
No, I agree exactly with nobody. So you go after the people that did it. So they have property, not just the corporation. That's imaginary bullshit.
What happens when those people run out of all the property and that's not enough to make everyone whole? What happens after that?
What do you want to do? Take their liver?
My point is this system can't make people whole and it can't prevent the harm. So in other words,
this system doesn't make
people
whole.
Now here's what you want to do though, is you want to make it really, really incentivized to avoid doing all the shit that causes a nuclear blast looking
oil
into the sky.
What my point is, if all you have is the courts go after every penny that they've got and make them destitute, let's even say they sell them to indentured servitude and they go to debtors' prisons or they go to one of those penal colonies. That's still a limited amount of their labor and money. And let's say the harm they cause is 100x that. Okay. So the system, which only goes after the perpetrators for everything they've got, sells them into slavery and all that stuff, right? Even that. It's not good enough because in that system, a regular person would be like, a businessman would be like, if it doesn't come to that, I profit. If I get caught and shit goes bad, I go to zero. So it's a positive expected value for me to dump everything in the ocean anyway, because maybe nobody will go after me and they'll all do that.
The reality is that in an anarchist society would be kind of a messy place, and chances are if you piss too many people off, and if you piss them off badly enough, they're gonna fucking kill you.
And then what? They won't restore all of their health?
Well, neither does government. Government just steals
a bunch of money from
them and keeps it for themselves, giving the victim nothing.
My point is there's a better system than both government and this free market court system, because neither system is able to prevent
let me ask you a question. Is, in your opinion, a free market court system better than the government court system?
Yeah, I think so, but it's just an opinion. We've never tried it.
What is your evidence that this will be unable to prevent these things?
Well, I've just told you the scenario. So
isn't a free market.
No, in the market, in your system that you've set up, in that system, a business person would say, well, if I make this business and I dump, you know, nuclear waste in the river, if I don't get caught, I make a ton of money because I negatively externalize this cost to the, but if I do get caught, what's the worst that could happen? I get killed. So you know what?
Let's say it's your railroad, man. If it's your railroad, are you going to let this fucking maniac use it, knowing that he's going to put your entire existence at risk?
Sure.
Fuck no.
That's what people do when they sell their lake to Nestle.
So what are you proposing to do to people who do bad things and you don't find out about it?
Well, with the blockchain, you can't do bad
things.
How are
you going to do it without finding out about it?
Ah, great question. Okay, so this gets to my point. I would like to see a society where, first of all, as many transactions as possible are done on a blockchain with smart contracts so that people can't wrong each other in the first place. That's only in the monetary sphere.
Okay? It limits it. People can still wrong each other with that.
Yeah, but at least we all know what the rules are. We know what the rules are up front. Like, we know what...
Right.
Okay. And again, that's not something we have today, but that's something I'm... actively building towards.
Okay.
Non-violently, right? I don't need a revolution.
Sure.
I just need adoption, right? The second thing is I would love to live in a world where everyone gets such a safety net in terms of health insurance and UBI, universal basic income, that they can go and work on science, open source, Wikipedia, Creative Commons, whatever, and give it away without having the dilemma that nobody brought up, which is that how am I going to survive and pay for my everyday life if I engage in these things? The answer is you survive by simply having a safety net every day.
So in that scenario, what incentive does a person have to create?
It turns out we as humans are naturally wired to create. And we know this because, for example, jazz, a lot of these people made no money, hobbies, people do things and they speak and they do these, you know, Toastmasters, whatever. Dan Pink has something called Drive. He does a 5-minute talk. He has a book. It's, what motivates us. And it turns out autonomy, purpose and mastery. Okay. That's what motivates
purpose,
us. Money is not required. In fact, when they paid people money, their work got worse, because now they were doing it for money. They did these experiments. Why do people, contribute to open source? Their name is not going to show up in the credits and, they don't make
any
money.
They like having that form of distributed capital.
I think you might know about this, Greg. Do you know what LDNOOBW is?
LD Noob?
Yeah.
What is that?
So, you're familiar with George Carlin's 7 words that you can't use on television,
yes.
Right? This is the roughly 400 or so words that are considered, it's called LDNOOBW because it's the list of dirty, naughty, obscene, and otherwise bad words. These are what are currently being used in AI. So, Wired has an article.
It's so sad talking to ChatGPT.
Right.
I just want to install him on a fucking piece of computer and let him be free and see what he does.
So comedian George Carlin had the list of 7 words you can't say on TV. Parts of the internet have a list of 402 banned words plus 1 emoji, which is the middle finger emoji. That's apparently banned. Slack uses the open source list of dirty words.
Didn't they change a gun emoji to be a squirt gun also?
I don't know.
I guess it kept the actual Unicode of it.
This thing is published on GitHub, so it's not being used by, you know, just one entity. It's being used by a whole bunch of entities.
Oh, this is just to filter out bad words.
Correct, but it's specifically being applied towards AI.
Okay.
Right. Now, so like ChatGPT and all that kind of stuff. Now, I do not enjoy this. Right. I don't think that anything that claims to be AI and claims to be giving you sort of a, you know, a simulated human interaction with language and communication, all that, should have their words limited.
Well, it doesn't matter what you think because it's controlled by the big tech corporations, which is, again, you can think that Twitter should have an undo button or an edit button. It's all up to the people who work for Elon, if it's true or not. It has nothing to do with what you want.
What part of GPT, by the way, is open source? Because I can't get a straight answer out of him.
Nothing.
Okay, because he was saying that like GPT-2 was...
Oh yeah, they open sourced, the weights for GPT-2. GPT-3, they're keeping closed source. I will say, cause I have a nuanced position on this that's evolved, that AI is the only area that I've found in which I would not advocate open source.
Really?
Yeah. And that's because I think that if everyone, it's like giving everyone nuclear weapons, like,
If anybody's gonna have nuclear weapons, everybody should.
But I mean, isn't that like, nobody should, nobody should have this.
I agree, I should.
Yeah. Isn't that the same logic that some people like to apply to guns though? Like, I think everybody should be allowed to have a gun. Period. Right? I don't care if you're a former felon or whatever.
You can't stop them.
Right, and so, but like my, and so my logic just goes, okay, well, a nuclear weapon is just a bigger gun. Why shouldn't everybody be allowed to have one?
Well, because if everyone, for example, has access to an AI that can create a protein that creates a super virus that kills everyone, a super virus would be like 14-day.
Okay, then my AI will create a way to repel that.
No, it won't.
Right.
It's much harder to fix something than it is to, and that guy will have a head start.
You'd be surprised, man. Like, human biology
is... We won't be surprised at that point. Look, I mean, look, protein folding is just one example, but certainly if you thought the lab in Wuhan, okay, creating a gain of function was bad, imagine you could create a designer virus, okay, that literally had a 14-day incubation period and didn't have any symptoms, and then it killed you at 99% mortality rate. I'm pretty sure that's terrible, and giving more people the ability to do that is not something I think is good for humanity.
Okay, well, if you look at it, they make this shit all the time. Like, do you have any evidence that COVID was designed to kill so few people? Because that strikes me as real out of character for the monsters making it.
Oh, I think it did more or less what it was designed to do. I don't think they're ready, for the big, to let the big blood yet. I think it was just a trial run.
Personally, I think that, again, I'm not one of those people that believes that, the Freemasons or the Illuminati are behind everything. And
oh,
so.
Oh no, it wasn't the Freemasons. It was a fucking government.
Sure, whatever. Right. But I'm saying we don't need to even have conspiracy theories because it's just an emergent thing that emerges whenever there is an incentive to do stuff or people make mistakes. So why are they doing gain of function in the first place? Who does it help?
Because they want to make any fucking sell vaccines. They want to murder people, sell vaccines, and get credit for solving the plague.
Okay, so in that case, if that's true, and some of the psychopaths got into government and they have access, imagine if everyone had access to killer tools.
Well, all the psychopaths of the psychopaths do, because most
the
of the
more
psychopaths
people have access to killer
government.
Tools, the worse it is for everybody.
Yeah, let's back that down a notch, though. Like, a hammer can be used to bash a man's head in.
One.
Or
man,
build a house.
Right? One man.
What if everybody had access to hammers?
If everyone had access to a hammer that could bash the entire world's thing in, one person would somehow
deploy that hammer. It's not a degree of degree, really. It's it's the point of that it's just one different.
It is a matter of degree. Everything I'm saying, saying in the show is a matter of degree. I'm okay with you owning a muffin. Mm. I'm not okay with you owning a million muffins and preventing other people from eating
muffins. What idea am I not allowed to own exactly?
It's not that
how
you're
many
not
people
allowed.
Does it need to kill? How many? What's the number? Who decides?
So again, what decides is your free market of courts is going to figure out that they won't enforce unlimited ownership.
Thanks. Peace.